Did you know that Jesus was Jewish? You might be asking, what does that mean for your Christian faith?
Watch today and discover how understanding the Jewish roots of your faith and your connection to Israel and the Jewish people
can transform your life and the way you read the Bible. Coming up on Jewish Voice. Shalom and welcome to Jewish Voice. I want to thank you for joining me today. I'm Jonathan Burness. I'm joined again by my co-host, Ezra Benjamin. Well, one of the most popular faith-based shows over the last few years that you may be familiar with, actually, you're very likely familiar with, is called The Chosen. It shows the life of Jesus, Yeshua, in his Jewish culture.
That's right. And Jonathan, as we're filming this today, over 108 million people have watched The Chosen, and the show's really captured the hearts and minds of people all over the world in terms of thinking about Jesus, his life, his ministry, the people he was ministering to in a Jewish context.
Yeah, I've had the opportunity to watch a good portion of the shows that have been released, Ezra, and I love how they've put the person of Jesus and the first disciples correctly into its Jewish culture.
That's right.
Jesus is clearly Jewish.
Right.
In this series, it's really, for me, a breakthrough.
It is.
Telling the life story of Jesus.
It's refreshing to not see Jesus depicted as a Norwegian, blonde-haired, you know, 7-foot, bright pink-skinned person, which we know historically he couldn't have been, but to really see a Jewish-looking, a Mediterranean-looking Jesus ministering to Jewish men and women. And we know from the scriptures, Jesus said very clearly, I haven't come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, he came as the Savior of the whole world, but his ministry on earth was primarily, predominantly, to Jewish men and women who were in need of God.
And the people that he touched didn't convert another religion. You know, I'm saying this not because this is Jewish Voice or Ezra and I are Jewish believers, but because this is the biblical narrative. This is what we find in the Gospels. And I feel, Ezra, so many read the Gospels, read the Scriptures with these blind spots. Mm-hmm. When these blind spots are removed, it's amazing because we see things that we've never seen and realize they've been there the whole time.
Exactly. And one of those blind spots that we want to kind of shed some light on, pun slightly intended, in our program today is this idea of chosenness. And we are, of course, borrowing that from the title of the worldwide smash hit program we've been talking about, The Chosen. But the Jewish people, the people of Israel, both those living in the land of Israel and those living all over the world, like here where we're filming in North America, Jonathan, are referred to as the chosen people, right? This is one of kind of the ways of referring to the Jewish people. Many may hear that and say, what does it mean? And I think a couple things may happen. One, we either say, I don't understand what it means, I'll move on. Or two, I've actually, in my conversations with Christians, men and women who love Jesus, I've heard people say, you know, I'm a little offended by that term. Because why would God choose one person? Does that mean he unchose the rest of us? Does that mean the Jewish people are somehow superior or they have this preference in God and everybody else is second priority? So we want to take a few minutes today and just unpack what the word chosen means.
Yeah. Every time I hear the chosen people, and which it does refer to a very specific people, the children of Abraham, something happens. I get a little bit, I get these butterflies in my stomach because I wanted to know. I was taught as a young man, I was probably 8 or 9, and part of my responsibility growing up in a Jewish home was to go to services, to go to religious school. And it was drummed into us. We are the chosen people. We are the chosen people. And I raised my hand and I asked my teacher, what does that mean? What are we chosen for? And my teacher sarcastically said, well, Jonathan, we were chosen to be persecuted. And sadly, that's a reality when you look at history over the last 3,500 years, and in particular over the last 2,000, sadly, Christian anti-Semitism is a horrible history of atrocities mm-hmm. against the Jewish people, mm-hmm. rejection, ultimately the Holocaust. And I remember thinking, I don't want to be chosen.
Yeah.
So when God got a hold of me in college and restored my identity as a Jew, mm-hmm. I had to deal with that misconception.
Sure, I'm thinking
chosen to be persecuted.
Right. My own grandma Ruth, who passed away a couple years ago now, when I would say, "Grandma, we're the chosen people," she would say, "Chosen for what?" You know, and it's we laugh, but it's also I hope you can feel the sadness that we understand as a people for our whole lives. We're chosen. But what were we chosen for and why were we chosen? And as much as it's a mystery to many in the Christian community, it's also not understood. It's misunderstood by the Jewish people, by and large.
For sure. You know, choose someone else.
Right.
I think it's important that you grasp this because it affects you and your walk, because you have actually been brought into and connected to God's call of chosen, God's chosenness.
That's right.
So yes, you are chosen, but let's talk about how that came to be.
That's right.
And you have to go, for me, it goes all the way back to Genesis 3:15, Ezra, mm-hmm. where we have the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden and the decree that there would be a Messiah that would crush the head of the serpent, of Satan. Mm-hmm. And we've been living in this state of separation, I'm talking about in this world, mm-hmm. from God, and Satan has been living under a death sentence. And the key point is that the seed of the woman, the mm-hmm. seed of the woman will crush your head, the Messiah.
Right.
Well, that Messiah, that promise of the Messiah, comes ultimately through Abraham mm-hmm. and the child that he is to bring forth with Sarah, the chosen child, Isaac, and then through Jacob. And that's the bloodline that we connect to as Jews, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But it doesn't end there. It continues on through a tumultuous history, but ultimately a great point in history where you, as a Gentile, because most of you watching aren't Jewish, are then brought into this promise.
So Jonathan, what I'm hearing is God already had a plan. He's not surprised by Adam and Eve's sin, and we know the scriptures say that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. God didn't have to scramble and say, what do we do now? Adam and Eve messed up. He already knew he was going to have to send a Savior and that Savior would be born in a human body, the God of Israel made flesh. And so we already see in Genesis 3.
It's the first messianic prophecy in the Bible.
Genesis 3:15.
Genesis 3:15.
Right, and there's this idea there in Hebrew, it's zerah, which literally is sperm, not just generically seed. So God's saying, literally through your offspring, Eve, is going to come one who will crush the head of the enemy.
But I'll go one step further.
Yeah.
Why is this prophecy, and it is a prophecy, it's a declaration, but it's a prophecy. Why is it so supernatural? Hmm. It's supernatural because you correctly stated it is the man impregnates the egg,
right.
impregnates the woman, and
right.
the egg becomes an embryo, a fetus, life is born.
Right.
But in this case, it's not the seed of the man. It's the man who brings the seed. It's the seed of the woman.
Right.
It makes no sense until
right.
you understand the virgin birth, that
right.
there is a virgin birth here. It doesn't go back to any later prophecies. It doesn't
right.
go back to Isaiah. It goes back to Genesis 3:15,
that's
the
right.
seed of the woman. And that's a very odd statement.
That's right. And I'm thinking, I'm jumping ahead now later in the Old Testament where David's saying, let me build a house for your worship, for your glory. And God says to him, no, you can't build a house, but here's what I will do for you, David. One in your offspring. Again, this idea, your literal, in your line, your ethnic lineage will come one who will reign on your throne forever. And that's why Jesus, Yeshua, is known as and actually called in the Gospels, Son of David, He's the Messiah, right. The son of David, because there's a literal line. There's a family here chosen to bring forth the one who would rule.
Right. So I think it's important again to highlight, this is not about favoritism. This is not about God loving one group more than another. It's about a divine plan that requires a people chosen to bring about that promise. Mm-hmm. And that has never changed, but it has been added to, which we'll get to in it. I'm not going to go any further. We'll do that in the next segment.
Sure.
It's a plan that God has been carrying out since the garden.
That's right.
God knows the before, he knows the after. He's outside the realm of time, and he's committed to this. He's committed to redeeming the world, to restoring the world, and to setting up an everlasting kingdom, and we get to be part of it. That's the great thing. We get to be part of it. We need to take a break. I don't want to take a break. But Jewish Voice is proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and then to the Gentile in that order, and we want to ask you to partner with us to help proclaim Jesus to his chosen people around the world. So we really need you to join us and be part of this effort together right now.
You've been grafted in, chosen, blessed to be a blessing to the world. Carry this tote bag with the grafted in seal of the menorah and fish, joined by the Star of David, and you're proclaiming how Jews and Christians are united in Jesus. Plus, we'll include the CD, The Dangerous Lie of Replacement Theology. This teaching from Jonathan responds to the false doctrine that the Jewish people are no longer God's chosen people. Receive this CD and the tote bag when you make a gift of $40 or more. We're hoping you'll write, go online, or call the number on the screen today. Become a new Shalom partner with your gift of $30 a month or more, and we'll send you the CD and tote bag, plus this house blessing plaque. With the look of ancient stone, this striking 10-inch plaque features the words, "I will bless those who bless Israel." The menorah and subtle Jewish Voice logo remind you that 100% of your monthly gift is working to proclaim the gospel to Jewish people and their neighbors around the world. If you can, scan the QR code, go online to jewishvoice.tv, or mail your most generous gift to the address on the screen. All will be used, even in times of crisis, to unite God's chosen people through Jesus, Yeshua, as our Messiah. Thank you so much.
Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in today and for your prayers and support. It is so appreciated because we could not do what we do without you. Well, Ezra, we're talking about chosenness today, and we left off with Genesis 3:15,
right,
where you have a prophecy that declares that God will right the wrong. He'll bridge the gap.
That's right.
That Adam and Eve brought when they disobeyed God, mm-hmm. and he says it's through the seed of a woman.
Right.
Through the seed of the woman, that the serpent would be crushed, and he'll bruise your head, but you'll crush his head.
That's right.
But you'll only bruise his heel, Satan,
right,
to the serpent. And this is God's plan of healing the world,
that's
healing
right.
mankind.
That's right.
And then it jumps to Genesis chapter 12. We have the condition of the world getting worse and worse and worse. And then Genesis 12 introduces us to a man named Abraham.
That's right.
And Abraham is given a promise that if he'll leave his household, his family, and go to the land that God would show him in faith, that he would be a blessing to the whole world. And in fact, all the families of the earth would be blessed through him.
That's it. And if you quote one or the other part of that verse, you're missing something that we're getting to right now. We've kept you in suspense. What does it mean for the Jewish people, the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to be the chosen people? And here we get the first taste of it, Jonathan. Not only chosen to eventually bring forth the Messiah, the one who would crush the head of Satan, but here chosen not just to be blessed as God's response to Abraham's faith, but actually to be made a blessing to all the families of the earth. So what does it mean? If you're writing this down, write it down. What does it mean for Jewish people to be the chosen people? The first thing we see is to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. That's our calling as a people.
It is indeed. To bless every family of the earth.
Right.
Not to bless his lineage,
right,
which is through Isaac and then Jacob,
sure,
and the 12 tribes, but to be a blessing to the world. And sadly, Ezra, I think that history shows that over the millennia, we failed in that mission to a large degree.
Sure, because that blessing to all the families of the earth can only happen as we believe God, right? It says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And the prophets are very clear, even a lot of Jesus' ministry speaking to Jewish leaders and elders is, you're doing all the right things, but you don't really believe God in the spirit of what he's saying. And that's where, as a people, generation after generation, we've gone out of the way. That's why we need a redeemer and a savior,
On the one hand, we fell short.
Sure.
On the other, if you look at the list of Nobel Prize winners, for example, and you see it's disproportionately weighted to Jewish people, the progress that's been made in medicine, in economics, in technology, very often is the contribution of people that are tied to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not because they're better educated or more driven, maybe they are, but it's a result of the decree in Genesis 12 that I'll bless through you, I'll bless all the families of the earth. More importantly, though, it's a spiritual promise that
is
fulfilled in the Messiah.
That's right.
That through you, the Messiah will ultimately come, the son of Abraham.
Right. I'm thinking of the verse that says all of God's promises are yes in the Messiah, yes in Jesus. And the amen, the so be it, is spoken by us to his glory. So God made a promise to the descendants of Abraham and then Isaac and Jacob later in Genesis. I'm going to make you a blessing to all the families of the earth. That's fulfilled for the Jewish people as we come to faith in the Messiah, in Jesus. And Jonathan, the clock's ticking here, so I want to just highlight two more ways that the Jewish people are chosen. And we need to look at Isaiah 43 here. You know many of the sections of this chapter, I'm sure you do, even if you don't know it by the address. But here in verse 10, this is what God says to Israel. He says, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen people, okay, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he." So we know, I think we have to think almost of a courtroom here, right? You bring in the witness to say, I've seen what it is that we're talking about. And that's what God's saying. I've chosen mm-hmm. you, Israel, not only to serve me, and we serve God by worshiping him in holiness. He's a holy God, and we need to be holy to worship him aright. But he's saying, I've also made you my witnesses, right? God says, gather all the nations on the earth. Where's the people who can be eyewitnesses of what I've done? Like the parting of the Red Sea, bringing out of out Egypt from slavery to freedom, walking them into the promised land and giving them victory over their enemies. God says there's no other people on earth who bears that eyewitness testimony but the Jewish people.
Such a good point. Now, let me touch on one other thing.
Sure.
Why is this important to you?
Right.
I'm not Jewish, you may say. Why does this really matter? And the answer is, first, that it was the Jewish apostles that brought the gospel to the nations. So you're a direct descendant of the testimony of the Jewish apostles. And I think the movie, The Chosen, brings this out so clearly. But two, you've been grafted into the people of testimony. Read Romans 11. And now you are chosen. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy generation. You're called to bring witness. And so we're in this together.
Amen. And that's, you know, I'm smiling here because a significant portion of the New Testament, Jonathan, is first people like Peter saying, what has the God of Israel to do with the Gentiles? And God says, no, you misunderstand. My salvation's available to all. And he sends people like First Peter, but then Paul, his whole ministry is to the Gentiles. And then as the number of non-Jewish believers in the ecclesia grows, people like the faith community in Rome turn around and go, what have we to do with the Jews? They seem to reject Jesus. And Paul says, no, don't misunderstand. God's able to graft them back in. And it's all a message about being in this this inseparable relationship, Jewish believers and Gentile believers united in Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. That's the message.
Yeah, it's That's a beautiful message, and it's such a clear proclamation. We are called to be one. We're called to do this together.
Right.
God loved the world.
That's right.
That he gave his son. We get that. I want to make it clear. Jewish Voice is not just about reaching the Jewish people only. It's about the redemption of the world.
That's right.
But we believe that there's a divine order, and it's a divine order that he's calling the church to follow. Romans 1:16,
yep.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. It's not dot, dot, dot. It continues on and says to the Jew first and then to the Gentile.
That's right.
That's a divine priority. And when we follow that priority, we see redemption. We see life spreading to the nations.
That's right.
And that matters. And that's why it's important to you.
Or at least it should be important to you. And what do we mean by that? We've talked about Israel's chosenness, right? To be a blessing to all the families of the earth, to be eyewitnesses of the glorious things he's done, and to be his servants. And yet, Jonathan, you know and I know, and we want you at home to know that by and large, the Jewish community worldwide is unable to fulfill our calling, our chosen calling to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. Because, in large part, we're blind to the one God has sent through whom all his promises are yes. We're blind to the Messiahship of Jesus. And that's the other reason this should be important to you. That's where you come in. You've been, as Jonathan, as you said, grafted into this commonwealth of Israel, right? You've been grafted in to be a chosen priesthood, a royal generation, the scriptures say. And yet, now that you're part of that olive tree, God's saying, but some who were a part of it in the beginning, some of my chosen people, I had to cut off in unbelief, but I want them back. And more than desire, I'm able to graft them in again. And that's where you come in. You have a responsibility not only to pray for the salvation of Israel, of the Jewish people living in Israel and around the world, but also to display your faith boldly to Jewish friends, to Jewish family members, co-workers, in a way that they see it and they go, there's something there that belongs to me. There's something there. I need to get back in touch with what it means for us to be the chosen people.
Yeah, and I'll just add one more thing, that if you will be faithful to do that, then you are joining yourself to God's plan of redemption, not for Israel, but for the world. Back to Genesis 3:15.
Right.
When you take your place as a follower of the Messiah, as a true believer in the same calling that God gave to the children of Abraham, you're helping bring about the redemption of the world. I love in Acts where Peter is proclaiming that this is the promised Messiah that you've rejected. And he's waiting in the heavenlies. He is actually waiting to return until the restoration of all things. And that's so overlooked. What's the restoration of all things? It's about a restoration that comes to the church in large part to provoke the Jews to jealousy, to take your role as part of the royal priesthood, and to proclaim the good news and to pray for God's plan of redemption. So we're called to be part of it. I have so much more I want to say, but we need to take a break so you can hear about opportunities available to you to help us, to join with us in proclaiming the gospel directly to hurting Jewish people around the world and how you can be a blessing to them. So stay tuned, because then we're going to pray together for your needs. And that's right after the break. We'll be back.
You've been grafted in, chosen, blessed to be a blessing to the world. Carry this tote bag with the grafted in seal of the menorah and fish, joined by the Star of David, and you're proclaiming how Jews and Christians are united in Jesus. Plus, we'll include the CD, The Dangerous Lie of Replacement Theology. This teaching from Jonathan responds to the false doctrine that the Jewish people are no longer God's chosen people. Receive the CD and the tote bag when you make a gift of $40 or more. We're hoping you'll write, go online, or call the number on the screen today. Become a new Shalom partner with your gift of $30 a month or more, and we'll send you the CD and tote bag, plus this house blessing plaque. With the look of ancient stone, this striking 10-inch plaque features the words, "I will bless those who bless Israel." The menorah and subtle Jewish voice logo remind you that 100% of your monthly gift is working to proclaim the gospel to Jewish people and their neighbors around the world. If you can, scan the QR code, go online to jewishvoice.tv, or mail your most generous gift to the address on the screen. All will be used, even in times of crisis, to unite God's chosen people through Jesus, Yeshua, as our Messiah. Thank you so much.
Ezra, we close every program in prayer, certainly try to.
That's right.
We just have a little time left. Would you lead us in prayer?
I'd be delighted to. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we thank you that your word says, as you said to your disciples, you haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you that you should go and bear much fruit. So, Lord, we bless our viewers today. Thank you that the prayers that they've been praying faithfully, that you've heard them and that you will answer, Lord. And we pray that their lives and their work on your behalf and their testimonies and the prayers prayed for family and community would bear much fruit. You're the one who hears and answers prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for the gift of faith to believe you at
yes,
your word,
Lord,
and to persevere in prayer, and that you'll meet everyone with the health and the protection and the provision that they need. We thank you for it in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen and amen. If you'd like more information about our ministry, you can log on to our website. It's jewishvoice.tv. One word, jewishvoice.tv. And you'll find many helpful resources, as well as being able to send your prayer request to us right from our website. If you need any prayer, just know we'll be praying for you faithfully. I also want you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem this week, because that is a mandate. Psalm 122:6 says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love thee." And so if you want to prosper this week, pray for Israel. I want you to know that God loves you, and we do too. And thank you, Ezra, for joining me today. And until next time, this is Jonathan Burness saying shalom, and God bless you.